regard to a theme, it's always amazing to me how God will use the truth in my own life and then also in the lives of our church family. And I'm thankful for this year's theme to be reminded regularly that God's grace is sufficient. And what a blessing that is. If you have your Bible with you this evening, Psalm 23. And a couple of weeks ago, we started looking at Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. And so we'll be continuing. I mentioned to you when we arrived to the name Jehovah Ra that we would spend several weeks looking at this particular name of God, because there is so much that is communicated to us with regard to the subject matter, the name Jehovah Ra. And so not last week because we had Brother Ballou with us, but 2 weeks ago, we considered the provision of my shepherd. And of course, we understood, even as we had looked previously, Jehovah Jireh, my God will provide, and we looked at that, another name for God. But Jehovah Ra, or another name of God, Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. But as we understand what is communicated to us through these names of God, this teaching and this truth with regard to the Lord my shepherd, that my shepherd not only provides for me, but tonight as we look at verse 4 in Psalm 23, we're reminded of the protection of my shepherd. And what a blessing to be reminded of this truth. Notice with me, we'll begin reading in verse 1. We're familiar with it, but Psalm 23, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." And so last week we looked at those first three verses as we dealt with the provision of the shepherd, of my shepherd, and we dealt with the nourishment, the restoration, refreshment, the direction that He provides. And now as we look at verse number 4, really, we're reminded of what we'll look at tonight and then also next week. It kind of segues into it. But we see in verse number 4, the Bible says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Begin to look at verse number 4, and we find not only the protection, but also the presence of our shepherd. And we'll deal with the protection this week, and next week we'll look at the presence of our shepherd. And what a blessing it is to know that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But tonight, as we focus on the protection of my shepherd, I'm reminded that David as a shepherd himself, remember, we dealt with several weeks ago, the instrument, the human instrument that God used to reveal to us this name, Jehovah Ra, was David, who himself was a shepherd. And so therefore, immediately David would be able to relate with various aspects of what's being communicated through this name, Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. And so as we look at verse number 4 and begin to think about the protection of our shepherd, we're reminded that David understood that he was responsible for protecting the flock. David understood that he had been entrusted with the responsibility of that flock and the sheep that his family had. And as he was in that position, he understood that there were several things that he was required to do or responsible for doing, those duties that he would fulfill. And one of them was in providing protection. In fact, we know that when David is having a conversation with King Saul, he mentions to King Saul about an occasion that he had in which he had to protect the sheep. And we look at that text of Scripture. We'll look there quickly, 1 Samuel 17. But as we look at that text of Scripture, I doubt that it was the only time that David had a situation in which he had to step in and provide some level of protection for the sheep. Why? Because sheep need protection. There's many dangers. There's many dangers that they face. And so we find that here David, as he's speaking with King Saul, he says to him in verse 34 of 1 Samuel 17, "And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. He acknowledges later in the passage of Scripture that it was God who gave him the victory. He also acknowledges that the same God that was enabling him to kill the bear and the lion, that that same God would give him victory over Goliath. And we understand the greater context there, but this evening as we're considering the protection of my shepherd, Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd, and how he protects us, we're reminded that sheep need protection. There are many dangers. And so David would understand that. David knew personally what it was to provide a measure of safety for the sheep. And just as sheep face danger, it's important that we understand this evening that we face great danger as well. We have an enemy. We have an enemy. We find this evening that as we begin to understand the truth that the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Ra, and He protects me, I'm reminded, Psalm 121, turn there if you will, in Psalm 121 we begin to look at this familiar psalm and we find that there's a reference, and we actually made up a song from verses 1 and 2 several years ago, I think it was in 2020 actually, when we dealt with this particular thought of looking unto Jesus. And the psalm begins in verse number 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And we rejoice in the promises and the principles that God gives us here in verses 1 and 2. But then as we continue through the chapter, notice in verse number 3, the Bible says, He, who's He? Well, that's the Lord, that's my helper. It says, He, the one who created heaven and earth, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Notice this phrase, He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Do you see that? He that keepeth thee will not slumber. You know, there's never a time when our shepherd isn't aware. He's awake. He's aware. He's able. Amen? We see in verse number 4, Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We find here this great principle, He that keepeth thee. Our God is providing protection for us. When are we most vulnerable? Well, when we're at sleep at night. Are we not vulnerable? You think about some of those dangers as you could consider that aspect. And we find that He is not He that keepeth us. He will not slumber. It mentions in verse 4 that He's neither going to slumber nor sleep. I begin to think about our lives and the many dangers in which we face in life. There are times in which we go in to situations and we think we can handle it. We have these dangers. We have an enemy. The Bible tells us that our enemy is like a lion. What did David say? There was a lion and a bear. The Bible tells us that our enemy is like a lion, and he walketh about seeking whom he may trip up, whom he may devour, whom he may devour. And we find this evening that as we begin to understand and consider the truth that is before us, that God provides to me protection because He is my shepherd, I begin to think about a couple of verses, and we're just going to use a few of them, that David uses throughout the Psalms. And as he uses these verses of Scripture, I believe that it reveals to us the understanding that David had, that God is my protector, that God, my shepherd, that He protects me. And we find that he says this. Look at Psalm 28. You're there in the book of Psalms. Look at Psalm 28. Notice what God says, or what David says here about the Lord. In Psalm 28, in verse 6, it says, Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. Aren't you thankful that God hears you when you pray? What a joy to know the truth of that. It says in verse number 7, notice this, The Lord is my strength and my shield. What does a shield do? A shield protects. Now, I understand today that when we were to go into battle today, that we may not use the same type of weaponry that they used during the time of the writing of the book of Psalms. And you can look through the centuries of humanity, and you can see wars and conflicts, and you can see various aspects of weaponry and what they would use. But they would understand right here in the context of what we're dealing with in the time period, they would understand the importance of a shield. Amen? And we find that as we look at the truth of the armor of God in Ephesians chapter number 6, we're told to take the shield of faith, and we're told that it will quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, and we're reminded of that. But here David says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." Notice, my heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. David said, God is my shield. See, no soldier would enter into battle in this era of human history without having their shield. It was absolutely essential. We find that David says, understanding the truth, Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd protects me. He says He's my shield. He's my shield. We find that in Psalm 31, maybe on the same page for you, but beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me." Notice this, "For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." I see in verse number 3 where he talks about God being his rock and his fortress, and I begin to think about the safety or the security that is communicated to us throughout this these two references of my rock and my fortress, and we see that security and that safety. Why? Because the Lord gives that protection. You know, some of you have had the opportunity to travel and to see some of these castles and some of these fortresses, and you can see how they would have safety within the walls. And some of them, for periods of time, just they were impenetrable. I mean, there was nothing that an enemy could do. It was amazing where they would build them and all that they had. And David says, God is my rock and He's my fortress. He's providing me with that security, that protection. We find in Psalm 4:8, I know it's some chapters back, but look at Psalm 4:8 if you will, and then we'll reference a verse in the book of Proverbs that we often reference. We find here in Psalm 4 in verse number 8, that the Bible says this, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Isn't that a good verse of Scripture? It's a good verse of Scripture. I understand we have security systems in the era in which we live, and we have people that have various aspects of weaponry and so on and so forth, and I understand all of that. But can I tell you that there's no safety like God's safety? There's no safety like God's safety. The Bible says, the Proverb 21 and verse 31, the Bible says that the horse is prepared for the day of battle or against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And we've used this verse of Scripture. We've shared this verse of Scripture dealing really with a principle guiding verse that we use for even church security here. The fact that we have a responsibility to be prepared, but ultimately our trust is in God providing the safety. We don't want to have our head in the sand. We don't want to be silly about it. We want to be vigilant. We want to be prepared, because the Bible does say that the horse is prepared against the day of battle. But ultimately, safety is of the Lord. And we see that David is making these references. There's so many more that we could look at throughout the book of Psalms, and we could look at areas of his life and events in David's life where, listen, God was protecting David supernaturally. I mean, it's amazing when you understand how Saul was trying to kill David, and Saul immediately did not want to raise his own hand against David. He was desiring that the Philistines would kill David, and he made up this situation about bringing back a dowry and so on and so forth, that maybe the Philistines would kill him. And we find that then David was simply in the presence of Saul seeking to minister, and he takes a javelin and he tries to kill him. And you look through the life of David and even the interactions with Saul, you see God's protection. David's in a situation where he goes and he delivers a city, Keilah, from the Philistines. I mean, he just provided for them the kind of work that the king should have provided for them and didn't. And Saul found out that David was shut up in that city, and he figured, I can go and I can catch him and kill him. That's what he wanted to do. And David inquires of the Lord. What a principle that we must apply in our lives, seeking God. And God says, yeah, he's going to come after you, and yeah, the people of Keilah are going to deliver you to him. But you know what God did? He protected him. He protected him. Jehovah Ra. The Lord is my shepherd is what the word, the name, the title, Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. But we begin to understand that this name of God reveals to us, it communicates to us certain aspects about what our relationship to him is and what he does for us. Not only does he provide for us as we looked at a couple of weeks ago, but we find that he protects us. So this evening, when we understand Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd, and we understand tonight the protection of my shepherd, I want you to consider a couple of thoughts from the New Testament. Number one, as believers, we should expect protection from our shepherd. Now, understand, I'm not being presumptuous upon God. I'm simply saying that if God said that he is my shepherd, that I should expect that he's going to protect me. My children, when they were younger, and I hope even to a degree really in their lives, that they would expect that there are certain things that I would provide for them and how I would protect them. Why? Because of my role as being their parent. And we find this evening that God is our shepherd. Look at John chapter 10, if you will. And I want you to just consider with me this evening that we should expect God to protect us. We should, again, it's not presumptuous. I'm not seeking to presume upon God. I'm simply taking the principles that God has given to us in his word and helping us to understand that we should expect God to protect us. It's not based upon solely your ability to protect yourself or someone else. We're trusting and we're understanding that the Lord, my shepherd, that one of the things he's going to do for me as my shepherd is to protect me. Notice in John chapter 10, a familiar passage of Scripture, Jesus says in verse number 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's the thief. Then Jesus says this, "I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh." And what does he do? He sees the sheep coming, the wolf coming, and he leaveth the sheep. Do you see that in the middle of verse 12? That's what the hireling does. That's what the thief does. It says that he sees the wolf coming and he fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. As we begin to look at these verses of Scripture and we see this great contrast that the Lord Jesus Christ is providing to us with regard to his role as being our good shepherd, we understand contextually that ultimately, even as we continue reading, that he's speaking about the fact that he's going to go to the cross of Calvary and he's going to give his life for the sheep. Why? Because it's the only way for us to be redeemed, to be reconciled to God. But we find that it's obvious within the text of Scripture as he speaks about this contrast and he highlights the behavior of the hireling, the behavior of this one that he sees the danger come and he flees. Implied within the text of Scripture is that's not what our shepherd does. That's not what the good shepherd does. See, there are some, you look around, you get in a bunch of trouble and a bunch of difficulty, and all of a sudden you can look around and you find that the ones that you thought were your friends aren't there anymore. Right? Can happen in life. I'm telling you, the good shepherd, he doesn't flee. He's with us. He provides for us that protection. We find that as we continue reading, look if you will, we'll skip down for sake of time, look if you will at verse 26. The Bible says this, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, My sheep, here's the application here, we begin to look at this. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Notice verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them. Do you notice what the Bible says here at the end of verse 28? Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So I want you to understand this evening that we are safe and secure in the hand of God. We find that the Bible actually would give us this truth as we look at verse 28, that Jesus is speaking, God the Son, and he says, no man shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then in verse 29, he says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Listen, this is like double security. Amen? I want you to understand this evening that this is in the context of Jesus saying, I'm the good shepherd. And he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life. And I know that often as I look at and quote this passage of Scripture, that I speak about the fact that he gives us that eternal security. And it's true. That's what God is teaching here. But I want you to understand that we're secure in the hand of Christ, and it's in the hand of God the Father. And we have that protection. Why? Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. And my shepherd, what does a shepherd do? He protects the sheep. Not only does he provide for the sheep, we looked at it 2 weeks ago, but we find that he protects the sheep. And I wonder this evening, how often do we go through life and truly, are we truly expecting that God will protect us as he said that he would? He says this is what David says in Psalm 23 and verse number 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The instruments that the shepherd would use, the rod and the staff, they brought comfort to the sheep. Why? Because with that rod and staff, not only were they able to keep the sheep close that would wander, but they were able to use them to fight off the prey. What a joy to understand the predator, excuse me. What a joy to understand this evening that my God provides for us the truth of, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We often will use that and speak of that time in which we're nearing the departure from this life and going and entering the presence of God. While I was in Israel, we went to a place, and I thought we were going to die as we drove there because we're on this big bus, and there are these hairpin turns to get up to this place, and we got up to this place, and they told us this is the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It's what they called this place. I have pictures of this place. And here's what they said would happen. It was a main highway, if you will. I use the word highway, not like we think about highway. A path of journeying from one place to the next. And on their livestock and on their feet, however they would be traveling, depending on their abilities and their wealth and what have you. But it would be a place where they would be able to journey from up in the north, Galilee, up in that region, to Jerusalem. And they'd have to go through this place, and it was just on the west, kind of south side, but westernly there of Jericho. And as you would go to that place, and we looked down and you saw just this narrow passage. And they say what would happen is there would be those that were not very kind people, robbers and thieves and others that had bad intent, that they would hide out in these places and they would take advantage. They would try to kill, or they would steal, or whatever they would do. And the reality is that for them, when they would say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it was a literal place that they would often refer to as they would make that journey. They didn't have to fear. Why? Because Jehovah Ra, the Lord's my shepherd, and he protects me. I know that his presence is with me. We should expect God to protect us. We're his sheep. I belong to him. I belong to him. If you're saved tonight, you belong to him. You're his sheep. Not only should we expect it, but I would say this, not only do we expect the protection, but we experience protection from our shepherd. There are times in your life, there are times in my life that we've experienced the protection of God. There are times in which we can look and we can see and we're able to identify clearly how God protected us from a situation. There are times in which God protects us from things that we don't even know. I'm sure that's happened in my life more times than I could even imagine. In your life as well. God protects us. We see in John 11 a divine delay, and there are times in which maybe God will allow something in our life because He's protecting us from something else, and God is working that way. We find this evening the testimony of Paul. We'll look back at David in Psalms here in just a moment, but look first with me at 2 Timothy chapter number 4. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we see in this passage of Scripture, these two verses of Scripture, we see both the expectation and the experience of this protection. And we begin to look at this and we see that Paul, of course, nearing the end of his life, he's already announced to Timothy earlier in the chapter that he's ready to be offered, that the time of his departure was at hand and he had finished his course. And we find that we come to the end of the book and we find in verse 17, notice what the Bible says. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Now, what's he talking about? Well, earlier in verse 14, he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. We find that in verse 16, he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And so Paul here is saying in verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and He strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Notice this phrase, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. That's a powerful statement that Paul makes. Who delivered him? God. Jehovah Ra. The omnipotent El Shaddai, the Almighty God. I mean, we could go on, El Elyon, the Most High God, and we could look at all these names that we've been focusing on, and we can see that God provided for Paul this protection. Paul's testimony was that I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Listen, the enemy wanted to destroy, devour. He wants to destroy and devour us. He wanted to devour Paul. No doubt, you look at Paul's life and you look at all that he did for the cause of Christ. I mean, he had a mark on him. The enemy wanted to destroy, devour him, get rid of him. Verse 18, notice. And the Lord, what's that next word? Shall. What is that? Future. The presence, that he begins to speak about future as well. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. This certainty, right? This word shall. He didn't say the Lord might. Was our first point tonight, the expectation. See, Paul experienced it in verse 17. In verse 18, he's communicating to us as well the fact that he was expecting that God would once again deliver him. He says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm in God's hands. And so are you. D.L. Moody, it is said, I've read, that a man took out a gun one night and threatened to shoot him and kill him. D.L. Moody had set a principle, a guiding principle in his life. He made a commitment to God. He would never pillow his head at night if he'd not shared the gospel with someone during the day. And he realized one night, it was late, that he had not shared the gospel with anyone that day. So he's going to get up instead of going to bed, he's going to get out and go share the gospel with someone. In Chicago, it's worse now, but it's never been a good city. The guy threatens him. You know what Daniel Moody said? The testimony I read, here's what it said. You can't threaten me with heaven. You can't threaten me with heaven. He wasn't afraid. Why? He's in God's hands. He's in God's hands. I've read accounts of missionaries that have shared testimonies about people that came to the place where they lived because they wanted to get rid of them out of the communities where they were bringing in this gospel and changing all of the normal way of living. They came with the purpose of killing them. And they give testimony that they arrive at the night at the place where the missionary and his family live to kill him. And when they arrive, there's men guarding the dwelling place. And they were later asked, "Where did you find these men?" And the missionary said, "I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, we came. We're going to kill you and your family. But we couldn't." God works as God chooses to work. And for whatever reason, in that particular account, in that situation, I've read that account more than once, that God chose to allow some angelic beings to be able to be there to show that these people could see. Do you remember with Elisha? There's more with us than with them. Lord, open his eyes. You remember the account? Look at Psalm 34, and we'll finish here this evening. Psalm 34. Listen, I'm so thankful that God protects us. I expect Him to. I've experienced it. We find that David, I'm just going to reference two verses here, I think. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." He gave him deliverance. He provided protection for him. Verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." I know I said I was going to look at two verses, but skip down if you will and look at verse 15. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. God knows where we are. You know, there's times in which we are in danger and we don't even know it. We're not aware of it. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, right? We don't even know it. And the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Aren't you thankful that God sees you and He knows where you are? It says that his ears are open unto their cry. Verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." There's a certain expectation that we would have. And there's an experience that we have as the people of God that our shepherd. Listen, I'm going to remind you of what the Bible says in the Old Testament. Our rock with a capital R is not like their rock with a little r. Amen? Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. And one of the things that's communicated to me and to you through this name, Jehovah Ra, is that our shepherd protects us. And I hope this evening that we would acknowledge the safety and protection of God in our lives. By the way, we need it. We desperately need it. We have an enemy. We have an enemy, but we have a Savior, and He's our shepherd. And He's not like the hireling. When the wolf comes, He doesn't flee. He protects. And for that, we ought to rejoice tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your Word, and Lord, we thank You for the truth. And Lord, I pray that this aspect of what You do for us as our shepherd would bring encouragement in our lives. Lord, that You would help us daily to rest in Thee. Lord, help us not to be anxious. Help us, Lord, to have that peace, knowing that You make us to dwell in safety, that You neither slumber nor sleep, that You're able, and that You're our shepherd. I pray that You'd bless the time of prayer. We thank You for the privilege. We've referenced a few verses even this evening that remind us that You hear us when we pray. God, that encourages me tonight. I'm thankful to know that you live, that you ever live to make intercession for us. But I'm thankful tonight that you hear us and that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I'm reminded of what you said to Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Bless our time, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.